We'll read it again and again, and in fact, each Sunday afternoon, as we turn to each of these Beatitudes, then they all start with this word, blessed. And we're going to think about the word, we'll think about the Beatitudes in their context, and we'll also think about this first one that we're going to speak about this afternoon, blessed are the poor in spirit. But let's read from verse number 1 then of Matthew chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? Is it thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men? Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set in a hill cannot be hid. And that will do for our reading. We trust that God will bless our reading and our meditation upon it. Now, I've read the whole of the Beatitudes, but I want to speak on one, which is verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, when we come to these Beatitudes, and in particular this word, blessed, it's such an important word to speak about in our day, in our culture, in our society. For this is a society where this word blessed and what lies behind it is so sought after and often is lacking. It's rarely found. It's something that people want but rarely possess. Blessed. The idea really is happy. Now, I don't know if you're feeling happy or not, but we're going to see that happiness really here isn't so much to do with feelings. But, you know, we speak in that way, how are you feeling today? And some folks say, well, I'm feeling quite happy. Well, maybe we don't say that very often, but or we'll maybe say we're not feeling very happy. And we speak about happiness in terms of how we feel. And we do live in a culture that does stress happiness, happiest when. And we speak about, even in many of our stories, the culture is that they lived happily ever after, and that is deemed to be a good ending. A good ending is to live happily ever after. You know, don't worry, be happy, this sort of thing. And this culture of happiness also is reflected in the way that we speak about unhappiness. We often speak about depression in terms of unhappiness. And we speak about being up and down, and we speak about how to make yourself happy, and people do all sorts of things. People go to substances, people go to shops, people go to all sorts of things. Things to make themselves happy, to give themselves a lift or a boost even. Now we come to this section of the Bible. This is all about happiness. This is not about going to the shops. This is not about taking stuff. This is not about just how you feel. The Bible is going to speak about blessedness, happiness, in a much more serious way, a much more significant way, a way that we all need to think about, a way that we all need to grapple with, a way that will affect us now and for eternity. And so we want to look at this concept of blessed. The word does just mean happy. I looked at a dictionary definition, a Bible dictionary, and it speaks about the state of contentment and bliss, which is unaffected by circumstances. Now, how few of us possess this and how much this is sought after. A state of bliss, a state of contentment. You know, there is so much, or so little, I should say, contentment in our world today. People who are discontented with their own circumstances, or with society as they see it, or with their own relationships, or with their own state of well-being. People don't feel contented. People don't feel at peace. And so seek to gain that in one way or the other. When people look ahead to the future and look out into eternity, if they will do that, then very often people are not at peace. People are anxious when they begin to give that serious thought, and rightly so. These verses speak to us about contentment. They speak to us about bliss. They speak to us about something that doesn't depend upon the circumstances in which we find ourselves at any given opportunity or moment. But it speaks rather about a true condition of heart. It speaks about what we can be and what we can experience through life, even when our circumstances are going up and down, even when we face the great reality of eternity, we can know this blessedness. And these verses tell us how. These verses tell us the true character of it. And the Bible, of course, tells us where it can be found and possessed. Blessedness, contentment, peace. When you think about this verse, and nine times in this little section the word blessed occurs, there is an opposite word in the Bible, and it's the word woe. You know, when the word blessed is spoken often in the Bible, mind you, so too is the word woe. And the Bible speaks about woe as being the opposite of blessedness, and the word woe is spoken of as the heart condition, the true state of those with no relationship with God, with no expectation of heaven, with no relationship with God on earth, and going through life circumstances in that way is spoken of as woe, the opposite of blessed. The reality of no true contentment, of no true bliss, of no true happiness, genuine happiness, of no true expectation that all will be well for eternity. It's spoken of in terms of woe. So blessed and woe are opposite context. Now, when you come to this, these verses, and you speak about happiness, you speak about blessedness, then there are some sort or some of these words in this section which don't really appear to characterize what you might think is happiness. For example, mournful, meek, suffering, persecuted. These aren't words that you would perhaps put beside the word happy, contentment, or bliss, or blessed. So there's a strange dynamic there that we'll see as we go down through these verses. And some folks say, well, you know, if true happiness and contentment and bliss means persecution, I don't want that kind of happiness, thank you very much. And if true happiness means to be poor in spirit or to mourn, I don't want that kind of life. I don't want that kind of character. I don't want that kind of contentment. And to show mercy to people and to be pure in heart and to be characterized by peace, I don't want that kind of... But listen, the reality is when you come to the Bible, and this is borne out in life's experience, that the sort of bliss and contentment that the world offers and the world seeks to supply is opposite to these things and is admired by the world, but it's temporary, it's temporal, it's not true, and it's not lasting for all eternity. These things are the real thing. Not attractive in this world's eyes, not sought after in this world really, but yet the key to true bliss and contentment that goes down deep, stays deep, and is meaningful for all eternity. And we're going to think about one here. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You know, the world says this about gaining contentment and peace. What you need to do is you need to sort yourself out. Sort out your money. You know, if your money's sorted, that will give you contentment and peace and bliss. You'll be blessed. Sort your money out. Others say, well, you know, it's not money that I really need to sort out, but, you know, if I could sort out my relationships, you know, maybe my work relationship is causing me a discount, or my family situation, or something in my home life, and I need to sort out my human relationships. You know, when I get them all sorted out, then I'll know true peace and contentment. And others say, well, you know, I've got health issues, and once they're resolved, then I'll have peace of mind and peace of heart, and all will be well. I need to sort all that stuff out, and then all will be well. Listen, the Bible is teaching this, that the real key to contentment and peace and bliss is not sorting out the material stuff in your life, but getting past all that, right down to the spiritual needs that you and I have. And that's what these verses are all about. It's not about getting stuff. It's not about sorting out relationships. It's not about having good health. Actually, it's things which are much more deep and things which are spiritual. Someone wrote this, trying to satisfy your deep spiritual needs with physical remedies is actually just as foolish as trying to do the opposite. I mean, when you're hungry, you don't want a lecture in grace. When you want food, a person dying of thirst in the desert doesn't need a lecture about the wonderful mercy of God. He needs water. And it's the same with spiritual need. There's no point trying to satisfy spiritual need with physical remedies. And what I'm suggesting to you this afternoon is we have deep spiritual needs, all of us. Every single one of us. And the answer to them is a spiritual answer, not a physical remedy or a remedy of material things. And that's what I want to speak to you about this afternoon. God wants to meet your deep spiritual need. He wants to satisfy your deepest spiritual desires. He wants to answer your deepest spiritual needs and problems. And he wants to answer them in his Son, the Lord Jesus. And this blessedness that he speaks about is available for all. Blessed, happy, content, peace. Well, as we go down these, and let me just say this in terms of a progression of thought. We won't need to say this every week, but just by way of introduction, that there is a progression of thought through these verses. This is what it looks like. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Well, a person we're going to discover who is poor in spirit has the right attitude about themselves and their sin. That's what I'm going to speak about this afternoon. When you get a right attitude towards yourself and your sin, it will cause you to mourn. That will be the good and right response, the appropriate response. So the next one he says is, blessed are they that mourn. So when someone recognizes their own true standing and condition before God, they will mourn over that. They will not be happy about it. They will not be delighted about it, but they will be mournful about it and seek a remedy. Verse number 5, blessed are the meek, because mourning about sin leads to meekness and a loss of pride and a humility before God and an acceptance that there is a need for something. That leads us on to the next one. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, my friend. If you get to the stage where you realize that you are a guilty sinner, that you have nothing before God, it humbles you. And when you realize that you have a deep need, you will seek an answer for that need and hunger and thirst. And it will be a strong appetite and desire for what? For righteousness, to be right with God. The progression goes beyond that. Such a hunger manifests itself in mercy. Blessed are the merciful. In purity of heart. In a peaceable spirit. And when someone becomes a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, when they are made right with God, this is the true character of such a person. Such a person who is merciful. Such a person who is pure in heart. God makes us these things. Such a person who is a peacemaker. maker. And then what will that mean in your life? It will mean just this, that you will stand outside the realm of those who are admired in society. You stand outside the realm of those who are accepted in society, because your character will be different, your beliefs will be different, your lifestyle will be different. And in many societies, it will mean this. And in ours to a certain extent. Verse 11, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. My friend, I want to tell you this, that if you follow the progression of these Beatitudes and you get to the stage where you are right with God and your character is changed by God and your lifestyle is changed by God and you're characterized by these things that the world doesn't value, mercy, purity, peace, you will find this. There is a level of persecution that will come to bear upon you. You will be reviled. You will be persecuted to some extent if you live for God and for Christ in an age that has rejected him, rejected his character, and rejected his gospel. That's the flow of thought down through these verses when you come to these Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, this is the true character of all who belong to God's kingdom. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I want to speak to you for a little while about this, just for the time left. Poor in spirit, what does this actually mean? It's the opposite of self-esteem. That might surprise you. The Bible does not teach self-esteem. Again, that might surprise you as well, but it's true. It's actually true. The Bible says, you know, if you're not feeling great about yourself, you need to lift yourself up. You need to change your attitude towards yourself. You need to have better thoughts about yourself, a better opinion about yourself. And I noted some of these things down from a website called selfesteem.com. Actually, there is one called selfesteem.com. And it says this, what you need to do is you need to value yourself as a person. You need to think highly of the job you do, your achievements, how you think others see you, your purpose in life, your place in the world, your potential for success. I mean, I feel myself getting lifted up even saying these things. Your strengths and your weakness, your social status, your independence. You need to get rid of low self-esteem, the website tells us. You must not indulge in self-criticism. You can choose to please yourself and not anyone else. Don't try to be like anyone else. Take yourself less seriously. Focus on your own needs and desires. Focus on your successes. Use positive affirmations and put these kind of quotes all over the place. Visualize your dreams and increase your self-esteem. Focus on your strengths. Develop and work at achieving your goals. Blah, blah, blah. Feed your brain. So it goes on. The serious point is just this. This first beatitude is the exact opposite of all these things. The exact opposite. Do you know what God says? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The Bible says all of that is no way to God. None of that is characteristic of God's kingdom. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You see, that word poor, there's two words for poverty in the Bible. There's a poverty, a word that means so poor you barely maintain a living from your wage. It's like the minimum wage. The poverty line. That's one word. There's another word that speaks about cowering like a beggar, utter destitution. That's the word that's used here. Utter destitution. And we see an example of it in the Bible. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus. And you remember the story the Lord Jesus told. And this beggar named Lazarus was lying at the rich man's gate. And he was full of sores. And he was lying there helpless and hopeless with absolutely nothing in terms of health, wealth, relationships, anything. Destitute. The Lord Jesus says, blessed, happy, contented are those who are like that in their character. Who appreciate that before God, they are destitute. Like a beggar. That we have nothing to claim before God. No value of ourselves, no standing. We don't need to lift ourselves. We're right down there because of our sin. The Bible is telling us to have a look at ourselves, to be self-critical with a self-assessment that is true and not false. This is not speaking about material poverty. Now, it is true. The Bible says that it's very difficult for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. The Bible says that. But that's simply because their wealth often takes away their realization of any need that they have, because wealth insulates people from need. So it's hard for a rich man with all the resources and self-sufficiency to feel their need before God. Much easier for a poor man to feel that. But he's not speaking about material poverty. Listen, poverty is no virtue. And neither is wealth. Poverty is no sin and neither is wealth. But it's undeniable that those who are materially poor seem to have an easier route to recognising their standing before God and their need of a saviour. In fact, Michael Spurgeon wrote this: God has not chosen many great nor many mighty men in this world. He's chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith, to be heirs of the kingdom of God. No, this isn't material poverty. This is poverty of spirit. My friend, grasp this if you would this afternoon. A man who understands that inside himself, he is a beggar. A beggar. Before God, destitute. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Poor, helpless, incapable. That is our true standing before God. Every single one of us. Without any merit of our own and in ourselves. Listen to some scriptures. Isaiah 66 verse 2. To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Psalm 34, verse 18, the Lord is near unto those who have a broken heart and saves such as be of a contrite spirit. Psalm 51, verse 7, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Isaiah 57, verse 15, thus saith the high and lofty one, who inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also who is of a contrite and humble spirit. My friend, the Bible says God resists the proud. God resists the proud. You have examples of this. People who came to God with the spirit. Abraham was one of them. He said in Genesis chapter 18, verse 27, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. It's quite extreme language. Listen to Isaiah. Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Listen to Gideon in Judges 6. O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh. I am the least in my father's house. But listen to the Apostle Peter. He falls down at the feet of the Lord Jesus and says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Not much self-esteem there. William Carey is a very famous man. Translated the Bible into six languages in totality, and parts of the Bible into 29 other languages. He was called a bright spark, to say the least. Very intelligent man. On his gravestone it says this: William Carey, born August the 16th, 1761. Died June the 9th, 1834. This is what it says. A wretched, poor, and helpless worm, on thy kind arms I fall. Here's a man who was poor in spirit, who had come to God with that attitude of heart and received by God through faith in his Son. You know, the reality is that we're all poor in spirit, but we might not all realise it. We might not all realise it. We might not all get the blessedness of it. When you think about this actuality, we are powerless, helpless, spiritually bankrupt, morally unclean, the Bible teaches us, unworthy. And if there is going to be life and joy for eternity and in time, true life, eternal life, true joy, relationship with God, if we're going to have that and possess that which is the key to blessedness, it will be that we come to God and recognize our poverty in spirit. We'll need to come to God, not with pride, not with works, not with accomplishments, not with character, not trading or dealing with God, but coming to God empty, coming to God poor in spirit, and seeking his salvation. My friend, you'll never make a step toward God, not one single inch, until you get to this point. Not an inch. Blessed are the poor in spirit. When you think about the wonderful possession of such, it says, "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Entrance into God's kingdom is only for those who are poor in spirit. Continuation in God's kingdom is characteristic of those who are poor in spirit. It's the core element of repentance that is necessary to become a Christian and should characterize all Christians. Blessed are the poor in spirit. My friend, there was a man in the Bible, and I just want to mention him, who is a wonderful picture of this. I think most have heard of him. He's an illustration of one of the quotes that I love by John Piper. God's way of freeing, blessing, and mobilizing people who see themselves as worms, which isn't a great word really, is it? Is not to tell them that they are beautiful. Not to say that they are beautiful butterflies, but rather to say, "I will help you. I will be your redeemer." That's God's answer to it. My friend, we are spiritually like those worms, but the answer is not self-improvement. The answer is not being a better version of what I am. The answer is the transforming gospel of Jesus Christ. The answer is the grace of God. The answer is not self-improvement. The answer is radical transformation that only God can accomplish in the gospel of his Son. The good news of a Savior who died, who shed precious blood to bring the power and grace and mercy and transforming power of God into your experience to radically change us and bring us into his kingdom that we might know the blessedness, the happiness, the contentment, the peace that cannot be purchased or earned in any other way. So there were two men that came up to the temple to pray. This is the story that the Lord Jesus told in Luke chapter 18, verse 13. It's an excellent example of a man who was poor in spirit. And the Bible tells us about the two men that come up to the temple to pray. And first of all, it tells us about the first man who was very arrogant and proud, haughty. He even displayed it in his body language. And his concern was how he was before other people. How he appeared and his status in relation to other people. So he's praying to God and he's thanking God. "Thank you, God, I'm not as these other people." See, that's arrogance and that's self-righteousness and that's a man who's not in touch with God. That's a man who knows nothing of God's grace or salvation. That's a man who's never been poor in spirit. That's a man who's depending on his own worth and character and accomplishments to be right with God and right for eternity. And there he stands, he said, and he compares himself to others and he actually thinks he comes out quite well. And maybe in the eyes of others he did, and he's standing there, and he's got his chest out and his head up, and he's boasting to God. So we go to the other man, who's called a publican, a tax collector, which indicated in the eyes of others in that community, in that society, he was already despised because of the work he did. But you know, he says this, the Lord Jesus says, he stood afar off, and here it is. Here's the body language that actually showed what his true heart condition was before God. It said he would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. Listen to what he said. Listen to this. But smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's poor in spirit. Empty. Nothing. Head down, separating himself out. He's like a beggar. And all he's doing is putting his hand out and asking God for mercy. Be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, this is a man who's poor in spirit. Blessed are they who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. God blesses such. God responds to such. God interacts with such. God will save such. That's the teaching of the gospel. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. That those who come to God in that heart condition open themselves up to the blessing of God in salvation. Those who come without the big wall of pride, without the big wall of self, without the big barrier of self-righteousness, become empty. They actually are available now and empty and are able to be recipients of God's grace and God's mercy and God's salvation that's found in his Son, Jesus Christ. It's good news. It's great news. Because listen, if we had to get to God by our own efforts and our own... Listen, we wouldn't get there, let's be honest about it. None of us would get there or stay there because the Bible says we all fall short of God's standard. We're all sinners. We don't need a big theological lesson to learn that truth. We just need a moment of clarity about our true standing before God. And the truth of it is we do fall short, we do fail, we are not capable of getting to God by our own efforts and our own works. We're just not even a fraction of the way good enough. So this is good. This is good news. That those who come to God in repentance, in poverty of spirit, without any self, but seek God's salvation with that attitude of heart, my friend, the Bible says, blessed. Blessed. I'm going to ask you a question. A simple question. Do we all in this room, who've heard the gospel and the Bible so often, do we all in this room have God's salvation? God's Saviour, Jesus Christ? Or is there still a barrier between God and us of self, works, righteousness, self-righteousness, whatever it may be? Is there a barrier there? Have we not yet got to this point where we are poor in spirit? But deep down, is there still that of self? My friend, we need to get past that. We need to be poor in spirit. And that poverty of spirit is something that will not just be a momentary experience, but should characterize all who are in God's kingdom. All. A wonderful illustration of this in a man called Moses. God wanted him to do something for him, to speak for him, actually. It was a massive task. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. Moses has all sorts of reasons why he can't do it. Lord, oh my Lord, I'm not eloquent. And I'm slow speech, I'm slow tongue. And I'm this failure and that failure. You know what we would say to him? Moses, assert yourself. Moses, you need to think of all your strong points and focus on them, all that kind of stuff. God never says anything like that. You see, God's service by those who are in his kingdom is not accomplished unless we are poor in spirit. The Lord says, who hath made man's mouth? Who maketh the dumb, the deaf, the seeing, the blind? Have not I the Lord? Go, I will be thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Don't lose your poverty of spirit, but just increase your dependence upon God. My friend, to come to God, you need to be poor in spirit, and to serve God once you are a Christian, you need to be poor in spirit. For it's the key to true blessedness, true happiness, true contentment, true bliss. Can I say this kindly as well, that in all sincerity and seriousness, it is one thing to speak about being happier or knowing a bit of bliss and contentment on earth, but let me just take a little moment to say this to you, young and old, the boys down here and right up to the back. This poverty of spirit, this repentance is absolutely essential for your eternal welfare. That you might not know the woe and judgment of God for all eternity because of your sin, but that you might come into the eternal joy and peace of God's heaven. Unless you come to God and repent of your sin now, and are characterized by being poor in spirit and put pride and all these other things out the way, and just come to God as you are and trust his Son as your Savior. Listen, if you don't do it, you'll never know the salvation of God from the judgment that awaits in a lost eternity. I trust that we all would take seriously the warning and turn to God in poverty of spirit. Trust his Son, the Lord Jesus, and do it now so that you might know of a certainty the peace and joy and bliss, the blessedness that God has in time and for eternity. Let's just pray. Our God, we bow in thy presence and we thank thee that there is a blessing.